Good morning. For those of you who would like to support the ministry here, you can do so by mailing your contributions, your gifts, your offerings to Post Office Box 67, Chicora, Pennsylvania, 16025. That's P.O. Box 67, Chicora, C-H-I-C-O-R-A, Pennsylvania, 16025. Or you can visit the sermonaudio.com website or the Christ's Family Church website at sjrchurch.org, and there you will find a link to PayPal where you can make your offerings, your gifts, or your tithes available through those channels. And we also will be using Venmo, V-E-N-M-O, if you prefer to do it that way. We can accept your gifts through Venmo. And again, we ask that Almighty God would richly bless you and you'd continue to share in this ministry. Okay, we got a microphone working. Yes, we do. You on, Jim? Praise the Lord. As I told the children last week, we asked the question, what is hope? And we answered that question. And, you know, the world desperately needs hope today. The world is dying to have hope. And those of us who are born again in Christ, we can offer the hope that is so desperately needed. We have hope. We have it. And unless we fully comprehend that, maybe we're not knowing how to share what we have. But we need to learn to share it. We have the scriptures that are preserved for centuries. And they offer us the way of hope for all who will follow the author of hope. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, it's written, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, that's teaching, for reproof, that's like correction, but it's a little bit harsher, and for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. And why? That the people of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. In this book that we call the Bible, we find exactly what we need, right here, God's Word. This is what we need. This is where we find hope. This is where the whole world can find hope. For whatever things were written before, were written for our learning. That's what's written in Romans 15:4. They were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. The Bible is, if it is nothing else, if it's nothing else, it is a book of hope. This is where we find hope. This is where the world can find hope, right here in the Word of God. It speaks of hope, it tells of hopeful people, it describes hopefulness, and it proclaims hope to humankind. But it also reveals the hopelessness of those who are outside of that one we call Christ, the Messiah of God. They're hopeless. And it's no wonder that we see such a hopelessness in the world today. If all were able to come to Christ, we would see the world become full of hope. Because, as it's written, Christ in you is the hope of glory. I want you to open your Bibles now to the first chapter of Colossians. We'll read verses 21 to 29, and you'll find that on page 1808. 1808 in those Bibles there in your seats. Colossians chapter 1. And right there on the left-hand page is where you'll find it. page 1808, left column, left page. And we'll read verses 21 to 29. But before we do, I want us to pray. Father, please anoint your speaker today. Take my weakness and fill it with your strength. Give unction and power to speak with your truth. Heavenly Father, I surrender myself completely to you. And I ask you, who created all that is, was, and ever shall be, I ask you to forgive my shortcomings. Cleanse me, Lord. Purify me. Allow me to preach the fullness of your word today. I can't do this without you, Lord. I need you to open our ears to hear. Open the eyes of our understanding, Father. Remove all distractions from our thinking. Please help us to hide your word in our hearts, as your word says, that we might not sin against you. We believe, Father. We ask that you would help us to conquer unbelief. Pour your Spirit upon all who hear this message, whether in this building, online, or through the other avenues that we'll be sharing it. And I pray this all in Christ's name, and all of God's people said, amen. Colossians chapter 1, verses 21 to 29. And this is what we hear there. And you, who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight, if indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them, God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man, and that includes women, by the way, perfect in Christ Jesus. To this end, I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. I trust that God will add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his word. And as a preacher of his word, I can say I feel what Paul is saying there. I want to do that. I want to be the one that God uses because he has placed me here. I want to bring you into a deeper relationship with him. I want you to have that relationship. I want you to recognize that you have Christ in you and he is your hope. I want you to get that. Because when you get that, all of that other stuff in the world doesn't matter anymore. You have hope. That hope is the hope of glory. The very first audience of this letter was the church in Colossae. This was a little town amongst three towns, Colossae, Ephesus, and Laodicea. Paul was writing from prison to the people of God who were called the church in Colossae. That's why the letter is called the letter to the Colossians. They were believers who had, as Paul very clearly states, they were enemies of God, just like us. They had been enemies of God. They weren't friends of God. Like us, they'd been alienated from God by wicked works. And there's none of us who are without sin. The Scripture makes that clear. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We know they were believers because Paul says they were reconciled in the body of Christ through His death. The purpose and effect of reconciliation, Paul states it, he says, is to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in His sight. Not holy in your sight, not blameless in your sight, not above reproach in your sight, in His sight. It's because His standard's different than ours. Because we might look across the aisle and say, well, I'm not as bad as those people. Oh, I'm not like them. We might look across the street, or we might look down the street, or we might look at another city or another town. We might say, well, we're not as bad as they are. It's because our standard, when we judge according to, well, those people or those people, it's not God's standard. God's standard is what you are in His sight. And Christ, the hope of glory in you, guides you to live holy in His sight. Not in your neighbor's sight. Not in the person across the aisle or in front of you or behind you in the building here. But in His sight. Paul then adds a curious condition to that statement. And this is one that's not comfortable. But he said, if. See, he wants to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in the sight of Almighty God, if indeed you continue in the faith, grounded, steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel that you've received. The letter to the Colossians has been preserved for almost 2,000 years. It's estimated that it was written somewhere around 60 A.D. Excuse me. It's for all believers, and that one that we call Jesus. Yeshua, the Messiah. The facts surrounding this letter urge us to listen closely to what he says. Colossae was a city that was situated in what is now modern Turkey. And as I said, it was surrounded by other cities, Ephesus and Laodicea. And all three of them were destroyed by an earthquake soon after this letter was written. And that's a very curious thing to me. And it makes me think we need to pay attention, because here was Paul writing to this city, to this church in this city, saying, here is the way, Christ, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And yet these cities were destroyed. And they had churches in them, because we know we have the letter to the Ephesians. The letter to the Laodiceans has been lost. But these are part of the Bible. These are part of the Word of God. He wrote those letters to those cities, to the people in those cities who were the church at that time in those areas. And I think there's something there that's not written, and that is that all believers must be prepared to meet Almighty God at any moment. I think that is the thing that we've lost in the church today. I think we've lost the idea that I could meet God today. And if we had that in our mind, we would be living with Christ in us, the hope of glory, to the glory of God, not to our own glory. We'd find ourselves resisting the devil and that temptation which he makes so delicious to us. I don't know how to use another word. We have to always be prepared to meet Almighty God, who is our hope. And after addressing the people, Paul goes on to explain his calling to preach. He was called to preach by Christ himself, and he goes into this dialogue about why he was called and how he was called, and he says this. He's fulfilling the word of God and sharing the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. The mystery has been revealed to his saints, Christ's saints. The saints are the people. They're not dead folks that are up in heaven. The people on earth. Now, there are saints that have gone on to heaven. But he's not talking about dead folks. He's talking about the living ones. Now, Almighty God loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Instead of perishing, those who believe in him receive hope. They receive Christ, the hope of glory. Christ in you is the hope of glory. Verse 27 of that first chapter of Colossians that we read, it informs all believers, not just those in Colossae, all believers, because it was just for them, they perished in that earthquake. That letter would have been gone. It wouldn't be in the canon of Scripture. It's for everyone. It's for all of us. It is for us to pay attention to. It says that our Creator has made known the mystery of this truth to all people. All includes us. Paul was sent to the non-Hebrew people, and his mission was to declare the truth of God's mysterious action. God did this, and he did it for his creation. That mystery is plainly stated as Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's the mystery. Christ in you, the hope of glory. This is a rich truth. And it has value to you when you grasp it. Christ in you. He's invested this into his people. Christ in you, the hope of glory. The world needs hope. You have hope. You have Christ in you. It was God's will that all people should learn to value the magnificence of this mystery. Christ in you, the hope of glory. God wanted everyone, regardless of their background or their religious status or their family heritage, to know this great secret. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And that's why he sent Paul and the other apostles to preach and teach Christ in them. They would reveal this mysterious secret. What is it? What's the mystery? What is the secret? The true secret of hope in this world is Christ in his people. We have what the world needs. We have what the world needs, and we need to be delivering it to them. You have the medicine for what ails this world. You have what the world needs. Don't be selfish with it. Share it. Give it to others. Almighty God bestowed this tremendous value upon humankind. He blessed us with something that none of us could possibly afford. Christ in you, the hope of glory. I remember the account of the man who saw the apostles laying hands on people, and people were being healed, and they're receiving the healing that only Almighty God can give, because they had the power of the Holy Spirit, Christ in them. And this man, who is formerly a sorcerer but became a believer, he said, here's some money. Let me have some of that Holy Spirit too. He wanted to buy the Holy Spirit. And they said, let your money perish with you. You can't buy this. God gives it. It's his gift to humankind. We receive Christ in us, the hope of glory. There's no other hope in the world. When you look at it realistically, Christ in us is the hope of glory. We have what the world needs. And I will say that over and over and over throughout this message, because we have what they need. We need to be delivering it to them. Christ is the Greek way of saying Messiah. Christ in you is Messiah in you. And in you means exactly that. Messiah is in you. The Greek word that's translated in, I-N, is a primary preposition that denotes a fixed position in either place, time, or state. Christ is in, fixed in you. Fixed in you. And it implies there's a place of rest, or a relation to a place of rest. Christ has come to rest in believers. He resides with you if you're a believer. He's in you. He's spiritually connected to you and with you. And this is why He's your hope of glory. You are guided by Christ in you out of temptation, out of sin, out of those fleshly desires. Yes, you still reside in your flesh. Yes, you still have temptation. Yes, your flesh still might rise up and want something that's contrary to the will of God. Yes, those things are true. And yet Christ in you gives you the ability to say no. Christ in you gives you the ability to walk the path of Christ. He was sinless. Have any of us been sinless? Absolutely not. None of us can claim that title. None of us can say we are sinless. And yet Christ in us gives us that hope that we will overcome the storms of temptation. And we'll keep our ship on track with Him as the master of the sea. We are simply His when we yield to Him and He runs the ship. Think about that. He, living in you, is your living hope of receiving God's promise, and that is the inheritance of the glorious afterlife. He empowers you to expectantly look forward to being included in God's wonderful, everlasting plan of life. He's your hope of glory. You're guided by Him out of darkness and into light. And I say that all the time. He guides us out of darkness. Well, it's light in here, Pastor. What are you talking about, darkness? It's light outside. There's no darkness. Sin is darkness by His standard. And Christ presents us. He cleanses us. And He presents us to the Father. Clean, purified. Why would we want to jump back in that dirty mud puddle that's called sin? Why would we want to lock ourselves back into that prison of sin when He set us free? You see, it's written in Romans 14 and verse 17. The kingdom of God's not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And our Lord Himself said, the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. The kingdom of God is in you. You, Christ, in you is the hope of glory. It's in you. You have Christ in you. You get that? When you're in this world, the world is either going to see Christ or it's going to see itself. If you are shining the light of Christ, others are going to be drawn into that light. You're not going to be shining the light of Christ by living like the world. Paul doesn't tell us to get out of the world. He says, live in the world, but don't be of it. That's the key. Because Christ in you, the hope of glory, guides you out of being like the world. Self-control. I heard a preacher the other day, I was listening to a piece of a sermon, and he was saying, you know, just about every failure, no, he said every failure in the Scripture was caused by a lack of self-control. I said, that's an interesting observation. It's absolutely correct. Think of David. saw Bathsheba bathing on another roof. He lost his self-control. Caused him to commit adultery. Caused him to commit fornication. Caused him to commit murder. And you think of all the others who fell throughout the Scriptures. It was because they lacked self-control. But Christ in you gives you self-control. You are gifted that by Christ in you, the hope of glory. And that is abounding hope. That's abounding. It's abundant. It's beyond your imagination when you grasp this. It doesn't matter what the world looks like. It doesn't matter what's happening in your personal life. It doesn't matter what's happening in your family. It's not that you don't care. It's not that you don't love people. It's because you have Christ in you that you still have hope. You don't lose hope, no matter what it looks like. You have it. You already possess it. It is yours. Christ in you gives you hope. We who were strangers and foreigners, separated from Almighty God by our own wickedness, we received what we did not deserve. And that kingdom of God is within you. Behold, it's written in Psalm 33 and verse 18, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear Him, on those who hope in His mercy. Paul told the Ephesians that he prayed to God for them. He said he prayed to God for them to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. And I pray that for each of you. That you who are within the sound of my voice, you who receive this message, would be strengthened in your inner person, your inner self, by Christ in you. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Ephesians 3:16. This is a prayer. I want Christ to dwell within you, that you would recognize that nothing else matters at this hour. And I'm not talking about the hour on the clock. I'm talking about the hour that we're living in God's timeline. Because as that clock ticks down, tick, 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 we're getting nearer to that time that He speaks of. You know, people say, oh, God's a God of love. He's not going to destroy the world. Read Revelation. He says He is. He says there's a time coming when people will be lovers of themselves instead of lovers of God. Lovers of pleasures instead of lovers of God. Think about that. Like Paul prayed, I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, Lord Jesus Christ, Master Yeshua, Messiah, the Father of glory, may give to you and you and you and you and you and you and you would give to you the Spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe according to the working of His mighty power. It's His power. It's not mine. It's not yours. He gives you the power, and my prayer is that God would pour out His power upon you to overcome everything and anything that gets between you and Him. Because I want you to walk with Him. I want you to talk with Him. I want Him to hear from you, and I want you to hear from Him. I want that kind of relationship so that you are bonded. And when we stand before Him on that great judgment day, I'll see each and every one of you standing right there. And I'll know that I have done what He called me to do, because I have a great concern about that. There's an urgency in my heart about this message, folks. we have Christ in us, the hope of glory, if in fact we have been born again. And if we haven't been born again, then it's time to come down and let's pray that we will become born again. We may not have people who are not born again amongst us without us drawing them out of the darkness and into the light, because we have Christ, the hope of glory. And they need Christ, the hope of glory. Christ, the power of God, the wisdom of God, the hope of our calling. These are all things that the Scriptures relate Christ as. The power of God. Christ, the wisdom of God. Christ, the power of, the hope of our calling. We preach Christ crucified. To the Jews, a stumbling block. To the Greeks, foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks. And what that alludes to is Jews and Greeks. He's not necessarily just talking about Jewish people. He's talking about all who are of Israel and all who are not. He says, to those who are of Israel, it's a stumbling block. And to those who are not, he's foolishness. But then he goes on. He says, Christ, we preach Christ crucified. Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. God's power in you. God's wisdom in you. This is where your hope comes from. You're not relying on yourself anymore. You're relying on Him. He gives you what you need. He will give you insight. When you walk with Him and you talk with Him, you say, well, don't step there. Little mess over there. Don't get your fuse dirty. Oh, stay over here a little bit. Don't go too far that way. He gives you wisdom. He gives you power to overcome temptation. In Colossians 1:28, Paul wrote, and we can honestly say that here, Him we preach, warning everyone and teaching everyone in all wisdom that we may present everyone perfect in Messiah, Yeshua, Christ Jesus. And this is why we focus so heavily on His teaching. I'm concerned that maybe the wholesale, the church has lost sight of Christ's teaching and we're teaching the teachings of men. The doctrines of men. We've got all these doctrines from this guy and that guy and the other guy and this guy and that guy and the other guy and this woman and that woman and another woman. And we've got all these teachings of all these people and we're going away from Christ's teachings. If we focus on Him, we build the foundation and He is that foundation. Him in you is the foundation of life. He brought clarity and He brought infinite wisdom to enlighten humankind. He literally is the hope that this world needs. Now, you've heard me say that over and over. He's the hope the world needs. He is the hope that this world needs. And it needs Christ so desperately. But sadly, too few are willing to bow down in humility to Him to receive what only He can provide. And that's what it takes, folks. It takes humility. He'll give you the power to override pride, but you have to participate in that process. Because you can hold on to your pride. I am not bowing down to anyone. I've never bowed down. Yeah, there's people He strikes down too. You know, I'd rather be bowing on my own than being struck down. There's others who offer hope in a countless number of worldly pursuits do this, and here's four reasons, and here's five ways. And then there's still others that offer hope in religion. Just follow this. Here's our book of religion. You follow this, you'll get there. But if we follow His teaching, because He alone is the hope that came into the world without limit. He didn't limit the amount of hope. Well, we're going to get the first couple million, and then after that, y'all are on your own. No. His hope is limitless. We follow His teaching. He indwells us. He's in us. We become one with Him, and as we surrender, He takes over. Yeah, I've used this illustration a number of times. I just fell at the very bottom of my life, and I said, here, you take the wheel. You drive. I gave up. I surrendered. I can't do this anymore. I surrender all. We sing it. I surrender all. All to Him. But then I took the wheel back, see? He's a gentleman. He'll let you take the wheel back. You want to drive? Oh, here you go. Go ahead. See, have at it. See what you can do. And you crash your life again. Well, I did. And I gave him the wheel again, and I said, this time, here's the keys. I'll climb in the trunk. You lock me in, and you drive. And I've shared that before here. This is a true story. I'm not making this up, folks. This actually happened. I said, I'm done. You drive, and I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do. I'll be who you want me to be. I'll say what you want me to say. I have Christ in me, the hope of glory, and I want to draw others into that hope so that the world that is lost, so desperately lost, all hope, would have hope. He alone is the hope. And you know, with Him taking over, our flesh no longer has control. Oh, we still have those desires. They're still there. But they get quieter with Christ in you, the hope of glory. Those voices are not so loud anymore. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And the closer you walk with Him, the louder His voice gets. And so all those other voices, the fleshly voices, the worldly voices, they get a little quieter. It's a little easier to walk past Him. The Holy Spirit, Christ in us, maintains the upper hand. Now, it's true the enemy of souls will still tempt us. But as we focus our attention on our intimate relationship with Him, we overcome. Now, hear what's written in Jeremiah 17, in verse 7. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is the Lord. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Blessed are you who have the Lord. Blessed are you who have the Lord as your hope. Blessed are you. Do you want blessing? Raise up your hands. I accept you. Give up. Quit fighting. Don't resist anymore. We're more than conquerors through Him who loved us. That's what's written in Romans 8:37. Do you want to overcome temptation? Do you want to break that habit? Whatever it is, to whomever the Spirit's speaking to right now, you want to break that habit? Give up. Throw up your hands. Put yourself down on your face. I give up. I don't want to do this anymore. Let Him take over. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Say yes to God's Messiah. No holds barred. Don't hold on to something. No, no, I'm not giving this up. No. No resistance. Give it up. Allow Him to rule your life. Let Him be the master of your ship. Let Him guide you. Let Him be the navigator. Let Him be the one that's in control. And all you do is sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride. Allow Him to have His way with you. Christ in you is your hope of glory. As I close this, I pray that you never lose hope. I don't want you to get hopeless like so much of the world. Remember, you have Christ in you, the hope of glory. Please, if you don't remember anything else, as the world turns, you have Christ in you, the hope of glory. And I know you're getting tired of hearing me say it, but I've got to drive it in. You've got to get this. I love you, and I want you to know you have Christ in you. If, in fact, you have been born again, you have hope. You are not hopeless. No matter how dreary the circumstances look, you have a glorious hope that goes beyond this world. It goes beyond what anybody in this world recognizes or knows of. You have Christ in you, the hope of glory. You can hold on to the promises of Almighty God. These are all yes and amen to His people. When you have Christ in you, you're not merely wishing for an afterlife. You have an afterlife. You have a life after this life that is far beyond anything you can imagine. This is just the proving ground, if you will. You're going through this. It's a test. With Christ in you, you pass. But remember what Paul said. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard. And no matter what you see in this world, no matter what you see in your life, with Christ in you, you are empowered. You know that? Empowered. You're empowered to place your trust and confidence in your Creator. You can't say, I can't anymore. With Christ in you, you can. In Psalm 31:24, we hear, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart, all you who hope in the Lord. In Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. All things work toward good, no matter what those things are. There have been a lot of times in my life when I said, really, God, you say this is going to work out to good? I don't see it. I just don't. And I say, forgive me, Lord, because I'm not the one in control. You are. Take me where you want me to go. Let me do what you want me to do. Let me be who you want me to be. Let me say what you want me to say. And I'll repeat that over and over, folks. I want you to get that. Let Him be the master of your ship. Because you see, God's Messiah is our hope. And when He dwells within you, you have the hope of glory. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank You. We thank You, Lord, that Christ in us is the hope of glory. Help us, Lord, to say yes to Your Messiah. Help us, Lord, to have no holds barred, no resistance. Help us to allow Him to have His way with us. Help us to trust. Help us to hold our hope in You. We know that our flesh will still rise up. We know that the enemy of souls will continue to tempt us. But we know when we walk with You and we talk with You, with Christ in us, He is our hope and we can overcome all things. We know this because Your Word states it. And some of us, Father, here in this room right now, and some who may be listening by other means, know that we are more than overcomers by Him who has saved us. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Help us, Father, to hold on to Christ in us, the hope of glory. I pray, and all of God's people said, amen. Let's turn our hymnals now to number 272. 272.